Anybody have any thoughts about Tabernacles?
Thought it was a good thing.
Anybody learn anything? See anything?
I seen something, but you know, it's like we kind of got started, and a few days before I went back there and I looked, and I seen all this mess back there. You know, how are we gonna do this? The day after work, you know, we're not going to have enough energy to do it. Then, you know, it's one day, it's like, you know, Michael called and he asked everybody, you know, what we're going to do. And it's like, I said, well, you know, it's like this. You know, it's either going to happen, or it's nothing to worry about. And everything just, you know, everything just worked out perfectly, you know, it fell into place. I mean, it's just like Saturday when I was supposed to have been barbecuing. And Andrew was supposed to be in heaven. And here it is by 3 o'clock, and there's no Andrew. So an angel from heaven came down in heaven.
Angela.
Angela Morton. From
heaven. You know, in the morning, you had him scrubbing that, he had that barbecue grill. Totally, you
haven't
scrubbing so hard on that grill.
Okay. Let's. You just take the point that Ronnie made and accept it.
Not listening.
Hey. See what I mean about always a room full of comedians?
It's like it was 3 o'clock. I had 2 trays of meat cooked. Like, man, I have no help. Like, oh man. So I just said, well, I'll be back here and just start getting ready. Work with me. So we got it done. And also another thing too, also during this time that I don't think I've seen in the past was that, and it has to do with, like we say, the faithfulness of God. You know, and the part of what I've seen was his grace and his mercy is because of, you know, I just thought that, you know, I'm here this year and, you know, I'm going to participate in it. And, you know, at any moment, you know, I can drop a hat, you know, I could have been out there somewhere, you know, at the bridge and shelter somewhere, you know, but wishing I was, you know, out here. So, you know, this is, you know, the privilege and opportunity to be here and participate.
Good. Anybody else?
I have a comment about the way Eric just was really appreciative, kind of like the angel of heaven that Ronnie talked about. Saturday morning, 10 guys showed up willing to help. And there was no way it would have been done without that.
It's important to recognize that we're never judged by what we don't have. There have been occasions in history when believers have taken the afghaman with dirty water as the wine and a hunk of dirt as the bread. It's critical that you understand that whether or not the tent would have gotten up, whether or not it stormed, whether or not, no matter what happened, whether or not the meal was finished, the tabernacles is not dependent on what it looks like. It's only dependent on our faithfulness in understanding his mystery. It's hard to believe that none of the things that we have, whether it's flowers or tents or a great meal or wine, are critical for the understanding. That it's God's grace that we can see that and have those things. But just think of the places and times throughout history when you know, in the first few years after the Hadrian was the emperor, if you celebrated Passover or Pentecost or Tabernacles, or even had a copy of the Torah, it was a death penalty. And so the people, I mean, it doesn't matter if we celebrated it with, as I said, dirty water and dirt.
It makes a big difference when you have everybody wants to be here.
Yeah.
To participate. I mean, it makes a really big difference.
Yeah,
that's a miracle.
That can't be done unless there is, if there's a sense of obligation, then there can be no tabernacles. If there's a sense of obligation, there can be no mystery of God, because obligation is directly related to cause and effect. Where there's cause and effect, there's no mercy and grace. And so it's vital that we understand that in every arena, and that we don't judge somebody else for not doing what we do. I mean, people walk in the light that they have, and that's all that's necessary.
You know, we talk about the fact that they empty the treasury on tabernacles to do it. That's what I was thinking. I was feeling like everybody had emptied their treasury into that activity that was going on together.
Right. The whole feeling of what we experienced under the tent is the reality of what we always have, if we could but see. What the name for this in the New Testament was? The name for this in the New Testament is the sheepfold. And it's interesting. Go to John 10.
Gary doesn't remember that they don't have school for that. but she goes to some.
Call, holler at him and tell him that they're on school. Marilyn will not be a happy camper. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door of the sheepfold is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will he not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, it's necessary for us to look at what are the characteristics of a sheepfold. And what is necessary for the sheepfold to be safe, a place that's, if you are of the, you know, where it says, I write unto you fathers because you've been with him from the beginning, then there's nothing that's necessary for the sheepfold, because you always see that you're under the wings of the cherubim. But as, remember the palm tree, there's always different stages of development. There's always children. There's always people that are questioning. There's always people that are trying to push the barriers. And so the basic sheepfold has these requirements. First of all, there has to be a need for food and shelter. That's why Paul said in Hebrews that if you have food and shelter, therewith be content. The second thing is that you have a need to believe life is meaningful. and that you have some purpose, a sense of destiny. Without that, you're just, you know, a leaf in the wind. The third thing is that there's a need, and I believe this is critical to us as believers, that there must be a sense of community. Really what community means in its purest sense. The fourth thing is there must be a need to be appreciated and respected. Not treated as a client. Not treated as a, you know, some offshoot or, but that you are respected and appreciated for who and what you are. And if you think about it, this is the real meaning of love. The next thing, there must be a need to be listened to and a sense that you've been heard. Now, what I'm also describing is an ideal marriage. It is what a Christian community should be. And a need to feel that one is the apprehension of who and what we are about is continually expanding, so that it's hard to describe that, but it's what it's what you call growing in the faith. But it's really you lessening. It's not static. But then there's also a basic thing that's fundamental. It's a need for practical help in the things of life, and that's why Christ said, I mean, all these things about it. If somebody asks you for your coat, give them your cloak also. But it must be and it's not just that your needs are met and there's practical answers to life, but it's abundantly answered. There's a willingness to always give. The main thing about tabernacles, as John said, was that the temple emptied the treasury each tabernacle. When the temple was would protect and save, then Israel would go into apostasy and the individuals would begin to hoard. The tithing would stop. And they'd always find a way not to tithe. They would always find a way not to make the first fruit offerings. There's always some rationale for not. The tithe is, I've said so often, that if you're not tithing 10% of your increase, if you're just giving every once in a while, go give it to somebody else. Go give to the Salvation Army. Go give to some other worthy cause. Because the tithe doesn't have anything whatsoever to do with meeting of need. It has to do with an acknowledgement that your sustenance comes only from God, and the two main issues that kept Israel from being mixed with the world system were tithing, and that didn't make any sense, because I mean if you have $1 million, you get $1 million, you give $100,000 of it away, that didn't make any sense. If you get a dollar and you only give 10 cents, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have anything to do with the amount. It has to do with the acknowledgement that that is God's. And that keeps you from the world system. But the other thing that keeps you from the world system are the feasts. Because there will always be some reason that you will be that something will come up. Now, the minimum that God required of the feast was the three pilgrimage feasts, that every person had to celebrate those feasts in the place appointed of God. You couldn't choose the place. So by the tithe and by the keeping of the feasts, and fast, really, that is what ensured that you would not be mixed with the world system. And that's the worst thing that can happen to God's body, to his bride. Is the slow. It's the same thing as how does a sheep get lost? It's one blade of grass at a time. And that's how we get lost. We lose the zeal and we start rationalizing not tithing. We start rationalizing we've got something we have to do instead of the feast. and slowly but surely. It's not a matter of saying you have to do this. The point is, if you don't do it, it means that you've already been cut off from the people. Everybody understand this? It doesn't matter whether you make a dollar or a million. The evidence that you've already been, that you're outside the camp, is the lack of tithing. I mean, and that's why for us, we've decided as a body to even celebrate these terrible things like the fast of Tammuz and the fast of Ab and the fast of Yom Kippur. My God, the 99.9% of the Jews don't do that. You know, I tried a long time ago to find out what was meant by the 49 gates of impurity that were the counting of the Omer coming after Passover, between Passover and Pentecost. And I knew a bunch of rabbis, and I had all the access then to all of the books and stuff. This was before the internet. But not one rabbi ever had even heard of the 49 gates of impurity. Not one rabbi had ever even dreamed of keeping the fast of Ab. It's because it's gone. But the point is, the sheepfold is available. It's always there. Anybody have any response to what I just said?
I have something that before I walked out.
I figured.
The Maryland. I think it pertains to everything you've actually been saying is the idea of the trappings. Worshipping the trappings, getting caught up in the trappings, and missing the mystery. And, you know, like you say, you take away all the tent, the food, this, that, and the other. It's the core, the essence of what we're about, that we're about. And if you get caught up in the surroundings, I think you miss the whole concept. The nature of man is to do that. You get caught up in everything but the nugget.
I agree.
That same context.
By the way, did Marilyn have to go to school today?
No, she has a tutor at 8.
Oh.
And I didn't want her to be
all right, so this... Is the tutor Angela?
Angela.
Okay, then the basic needs, characteristics of the true sheepfold. It's a need for food and shelter. And if you have food and shelter, therewith be content. You know that everything else that your eye and mind sees is a lie. You have to have a need to believe life is meaningful, that you have a purpose and a destiny. If you don't, then you just wander around trying to find your purpose and your destiny. There must needs be a sense of community, at least some time during your week or month or year. I mean, that's even family reunions and Thanksgiving and all the other pagan holidays are at least give people a sense of touching. You must feel a sense of being appreciated and respected. Without that, you can't. Now, I just read about 5 people's minds.
Are there little things over their head that make little bubbles?
No, it just happens. I can't even understand why and how it happens.
You know, if you don't have that sense of being
respected and appreciated.
Well, you know, it causes you or it causes me to go, you know, inward and question, you know, what is my worth, what is my purpose, and it also can lead me to the self-destructive behavior. I felt like I didn't have any worth and nobody cared about me or whatever, so, you know, what the heck? Might as well just do whatever. Nobody cares.
You remember I've said 100,000 times in 30 years probably that every time I open my mouth, I risk everybody leaving. Well, that's the knife edge. Because somehow you need to be shown that you have worth and are respected and appreciated without the need to massage your ego. And for some of you, that's been very, very difficult. Because either you wanted to be my friend, or you wanted me to spend time with you. Those are not the issues of what's taught here. For many years, every relationship that we had, almost every, was all, it was people's relationship with me, until 1987. And that's when we as the elders and the board of directors decided to split up and have the smaller groups. And we didn't even know then that the size of the church in the early years was 10 to 20 people. I just knew that something was wrong. Because it was even worse then that people, you know, were repeating my words, and which just made me sick to my stomach. And wanting to be my friend, or I mean, who give a crap whether I'm your friend or not? I mean, that's just goofy. And women coming thinking because they were going to get, they wanted to marry me. God.
Don't get a whole lot of that these days.
No, we don't get that anymore, thank God. But remember, that's where it came up, that cliche. There's 1,000 people come here for 1,000 reasons. You'll stay for only one. But there has to be this balance. That's why being loved and appreciated can't be from one person. Because it has to be a sense that there is something going on beyond our egos. Anybody understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that corporate activity leads to people being able to be themselves. It's like they're not afraid to come out. And sometimes you have to do it in the face of danger, but it's nice if there's an environment that allows it to happen.
I've often said that the elder's job is to protect the rest of the people from me.
You need to live across the hall.
No, I protect Ronnie from Pete half the time.
Oh, yeah. Harry.
In fact, that's the real, what it says in the better translations is that the rabbi's job is to protect the people from Harry. We used to have, when we had the first fruit meetings every year, Harry would have to stay in the block because everybody had something against Harry.
First question on the list. Now Harry lives here on the block.
Now, yeah. Makes a lot easier. And he can't go anywhere when we're not during the meeting.
Two goofuses is no waiting.
What? What?
Two foils, no waiting.
Please, this. What the sense, I believe that it was universally felt, even by those that were just visiting, that there was something special about being under that canopy. Yeah, and I wasn't here for much of it, but what it is a sense of feeling what a sheepfold is. It isn't the decorations and everything, or the food. It's something else. It isn't the tent. It's something else. It's like we've heard so often from people that have visited here from all over the world, that when they came on the block, there was a sense of peace. And some of us can sense that. You know, what the hell are you talking about? But that's something that happens. There's a sense of what a sheepfold is. And it's not our job to provide the sheepfold. That's the job of our Lord. It's not my job to be the shepherd. That's His job. And a lot of heresy gets taken in when it's when some preacher begins to think his job is to be the shepherd. They've even got terms for it now, the under-shepherd. I don't know what that means.
Vision caster.
Does anybody have any response to all this sheepfold stuff?
Yeah, a lot of what we just were talking about. I sat looking at the canopy all night that Jim had decorated, and it was just, it shined over there. It was light and everything, and it was symbolic of the feeling of the canopy we were under. It was a great symbol. But we experienced the reality of the
symbol. The rain was absolutely perfect. As making you feel like you're inside of a bubble outside of time, floating up through the ocean, something like that. And I wasn't looking at the decoration, I was just looking at the canopy and the tent surface, thinking that the whole evening.
There was a year, I don't know, I think somebody was going to get married or something, or I don't know what it was, but the weather got bad, and the last minute we all had to move up the road, which is living room. You know what I'm talking about?
Ed and Tylene's wedding.
It was like, pick everything up in 15 minutes, move it. I remember the feeling of that time. It was incredible.
Yeah, it really was.
And I was sitting out here Saturday night looking around, and it's a crappy old piece of plastic. It's 15 years old, and some painter's drops, and it's just a bunch of crap. Stuck up. There's nothing really there. There's no real protection. Structure. It's a dirty old backyard, etc. But it doesn't matter. It's all of us in one place at one time of one mind. You always say if it isn't true at all places at all times, it's not true. And I think it could easily be a concentration. Doesn't matter.
Right, and that's the point of if you look at this, if you search the scriptures and look at history, when life is easy, there's always apostasy. When there's people always ask me, well, where else on earth is this preached? I've never heard what you say before. Well, I said, then go to, I used to say, I don't say it anymore, but go to the Gulag in Soviet Union. Go to Africa where you're killed for being a believer. Go to China, the underground church. This is what they're preaching. They couldn't be preaching some word faith thing or name it, claim it, or how-tos, or because everything in their life is falling apart. The only reason I'm able to preach this is because I lived in I was all over the world. And I saw it, and many times in my mind, I said, when I was looking at something, if this isn't true everywhere, at all times, then it can't be true. And it corrected me. And so that's probably the most, the unstated underlying issue of a sheepfold, the true sheepfold, is that there's a sense of eternity. There's a sense that what you're hearing and seeing is true always in every possible place, in every possible environment. If it isn't, then just throw it away. Throw me away. I'm preaching anything that's time dependent or situation dependent or television dependent. People have always said, why, there's a jillion things the press could write about you that are really bad. And for the most part, everything that's written about us has been positive. Why? Well, only must control the media, or we're blackmailing somebody or something. It's because their job, the Fourth Estate's job, is what? Is to show forth the ridiculousness of human endeavor. That's what makes stories interesting. Oh, you should report the good news. Nobody's interested in the good news. What is it anyway? Some little slice of time that you've manipulated. Oh, the good news is the gospel. It's God. Has it dawned on you yet? It must have dawned on you. that the gospel is good news to God. It's the gospel of God, not the gospel of man. It's great news to God. It's terrible news to the human race. But the reason that we have, who knows, the New Yorker story may blow everything up, but up till now, all the press that's been written about us has been positive, extremely positive. Well, that's why it's easy, as Brad Bailey said. Well, that's because you picked on these two issues, homelessness and televangelists. Everybody hates those two issues. I mean, hates the sense of it. No, we didn't pick on it. It just happened. But so, other than the things that I said, there has to be a sense that your words and your work is salted with eternity. Because that's what salt is. It's a component of eternity in your life. Anyhow, that's the debriefing of Tabernacles. Anyone else have anything? By the way, this is good. You ought to
package it.
Yeah. She can't remember how she made it now.
Maybe the
one-time experience.
Yeah, because they're me.
Anybody else?
I like that. You know, the fact that Becca came home and
said, oh, that was just great.
That's sort of the picture of this idea where you come back from wherever you are and show up.
No, and I didn't recognize her. I said,
what the hell is that getting out of the car?
You know, Gary did.
And Gary, little Gary, that was wonderful.
From afar.
Yeah, now very big Gary.
Yeah,
I did not recognize him when he came in.
He's majoring in beer.
Beer and tacos.
Beer and tacos.
All righty. Anybody else?
Just that the singing was often nice. The songs of Sam, all those.
I missed all those. You were trying to make me feel jealous.
Before we go, I know that she needs to wrap it, and then it's Wade that's going to do it this morning, but he has
prior commitments.
Class.
Anybody else take?
Sorry.
Helen.
Yeah, Helen's got an actual car.
And we are going to. Yeah, Helen's got a car that works. The only person here.
With tires.
Have tires on it.
Real
wait a minute. What about you and the electrician and like, what do you need?
I'm going to need to call on people during the day.
I hope
to be ready to help if drop the hat. Unfortunately, I don't know when that's going to happen.
Muscular people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pull wire.
How hard could that be?
Uh-huh.
Well,
we're gonna hook it up the back of the Suburban.
Suburban? Let the Suburban go on down the valley.
We'll rip the transmission.
We'll probably have to use Helen's truck for that too.
Run it over to the whole Holly's house. Drag the house out of the street accidentally.
We're going to turn the electricity off the street next time instead of just going out. Take Kent to pull.
Yeah, well, let's get Kent to do it. poor Kent. He did. He was working so hard and did so. He did really get a good job, except for that one slight little thing. Missed it by that much.
We've all been
two.
Actually, two
things.
Yeah.
Do I want to know about the other one?
It was in the same area.
Oh, yeah, the alley. It wasn't paved right there.
Yeah. No, it was paved up to the corner of our lot. It was just paved behind Ann's house.
Yeah.
But now it's not anymore.
He pushed the dirt that way?
Yeah.
All right. We've got a blank. We got to figure out, in case we get the city, we got to figure out some way to get out of this. Take it, big guy, quick.